Okay, everyone come close. And sit down, yes. One of the things that we heard was how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, he was lecturing in the town, and then he heard one Brahmana, who was a family friend. Does anyone remember that Brahmana's name? Raise your hand, though. Yes. That's a very good name. But the one who recited the verse and when Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy, you have to raise your hand, though. Yes, Prabhu. Excuse me? Yes. Ratnagarbha. And does anyone remember the verse that he recited? Does anyone know the Sanskrit of it? Do you know? Keep, yes, say it. You know it? What? It's one of the most... There's three verses that describe the beauty of Krishna, and that's one of them. How Krishna and Dattur Pravala, he was decorated with the minerals of Braj. Just what was there in Braj. At Govardhan, even to this day, there's some certain rocks that if you put water on, you can, colors will come out. Like that. Dattur Pravala, fresh twigs. They were just like Natabara, just like the best of dances, Krishna was dressed. Vinyasta hastam ittirena dhanunumabja. So with one hand, he rested one of his hands on the shoulders of his friend, And with the other hand, as we mentioned, he twirled a lotus flower. Yeah, didn't say which hand. And from one of his ears, Kano Upala, there was, from his ears is a lotus flower, a lily. And he was just so beautiful and attracted. I thought of maybe reading that pastime. Just go over it quickly. One day, when the cowherd boys were out with Krishna herding the cows, they said, Rama, Rama, Mahabaho, Krishna, Dushta, Nibarhana. O Rama, O Rama, O mighty armed one, O Krishna, O chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Now, why would the cowherd boys be asking Krishna to satisfy their hunger? And the reason is, in fact, they were thinking that Krishna was hungry, and it would be impolite to say, Krishna, you must be hungry, what should we do for you? Because then Krishna would say, no, I'm not hungry. But instead, as soon as they say that we're hungry, then Krishna wants to instruct them on how to remove their hunger, because Krishna takes care of his devotees. And Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the cowherd boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, because one of Yashoda Maya's names is also Devaki, he replied as follows, desiring to please certain of his devotees, who were the wives of the Brahmanas. Have any of you been to the village called Batrar, just on the border between Mathura and Vrindavan? And there was one sadhu who lived in a boat on the Yamuna there. And there's deities called Batra Bihari. You've seen them? You've seen that boat? Would you like to live on a boat in the Yamuna with all the brahmacharis? Don't worry. So Krishna desired, he organized this pastime to give some mercy to these brahmana, wives of the brahmanis. Please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of brahmanas, learned in the Vedic injunctions, are now performing the Angirasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. And when you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us. Because he wanted Balaram's name first, because Balaram was known as a Kshatriya, and he is a Vaishya. So he thought the Brahmanas would be more inclined to give to the Kshatriya. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmanas with palms joined in supplication, and then fell flat on the ground to offer respects. And the cowherd boys said, "O earthly gods, please hear us. We cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram, and we wish all good fortune for you. Please acknowledge our arrival." Lord Rama and Lord Achyuta are tending their cows not far from here. They are hungry and want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, O Brahmanas, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. Except during the interval between the initiation of the performance of the sacrifice and the actual sacrifice of the animal, the initiation of the performers, O most pure Brahman, it is not contaminating for even the initiated to partake of food, at least in sacrifices other than the sotramani. So they were very learned in the methodology of sacrifices. It is okay for you to even eat food. Now what to speak of distributed? But the Brahmanas heard this supplication, this request, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet they paid no attention. They were doing their rituals, and they paid no attention. Indeed, they were full of petty desires, small desires, and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic knowledge, they were actually inexperienced fools, balisha. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, the time, particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fires, demigods, etc., 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 their unseen beneficial results are all simply aspects of Krishna's opulence. The Brahmanas saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human because of their perverted intelligence, and they failed to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus bewildered by their false identification with their mortal bodies, they did not show him proper respect. The Brahmanas failed to reply even to the request. They didn't even say anything. They didn't say yes. They didn't say no. They didn't say anything. Sukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Prakrit, "O chastiser of the enemy, the cowherd boys returned disappointed to Krishna and Rama and reported this to them." Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, simply left. Then he again addressed the cowherd boys, showing them the way men act in this world. Lord Krishna said, "Now, tell the wives of the Brahmanas that have come here with Lord Sankarshan. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate towards me. And indeed, with their intelligence resides in me alone." The cowherd boys then went to the house where the Brahmanas' wives were staying. There the boys saw those chaste ladies sitting, nicely decorated with fine ornaments, and bowing down to the Brahmana ladies. The boys addressed them in all humility. They said, "Obeisances unto you, O wives of the learned Brahmanas. Kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing by not far from here. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram. They're tending the cows, and now he is hungry. So some food should be given for him and his companions." The wives of the Brahmanas were always eager to see Krishna, for their minds had been enchanted by descriptions of them. They had heard, they had never seen Krishna before, but they had heard about him by the people who had been traveling, selling their wares. They heard about the beauty of Krishna, and they had already become enchanted by him. Thus, as soon as they heard that he had come, they became very excited. But they didn't say anything. They became stunned to hear that Krishna was nearby. And our acharyas say that the boys were thinking, "What kind of place is this? We talked to the Brahmanas, and they just stood there as if we didn't exist. Now we're talking to the ladies, and they also don't reply." But there was such a difference. Stunned out of pride, not replying out of pride, and the others in ecstasy, always thinking about Krishna. So then they took large vessels, the ladies, four kinds of food, full of fine tastes and aromas. All the food that was meant for the offerings, the ladies sent forth to meet. They went forth to meet their beloved, just as rivers flow to the sea completely naturally. Although their husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives tried to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna, cultivated by extensive hearing of his transcendental qualities, won out. And along the river Yamuna, within a garden decorated with buds of Ashoka trees, they caught sight of him, of Krishna, strolling along in the company of his cowherd boys and his elder brother Balaram. And this is what they saw. Shamam haranya paridim vanamalya barha datu pravala natavesham anavatamse vinyasta hastam itarena dunanamabja kano upala alaka kapola mukabja hasam. They saw Krishna, whose complexion was dark blue, and his garments were golden. And he was wearing a peacock feather atop his head. Colored minerals decorated him, and little sprigs of flower buds were decorating him. And he had a garland of forest flower and leaves. He was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and with the other he twirled the lotus. Lilies graced his ears. His hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling, and they were completely captivated. For a long time, those Brahmana ladies had heard about Krishna, their beloved, and his glories, and his glories had become the constant ornament of their ears. Indeed, their minds were always absorbed in him. Through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced him to enter within their hearts, and then there they embraced him for a long time. In this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation from him, just as sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. Lord Krishna, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures, now that's something that's quite interesting. He witnesses the thoughts of all creatures. I guess we are also in the category of creatures. He understood how those ladies had abandoned all worldly hopes and come there simply to see him. Thus he addressed them as follows, with a smile on their face. Lord Krishna said, "Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you? That you have come here to see me is most appropriate." Certainly, expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, for I am most dear to the soul. It is only by contact with the self, the soul, that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, wealth, and so on are dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear than one's own self, the self of oneself, the supersoul? Me. You should thus return to the sacrificial arena. You can go now. You've seen me. Because your husbands, the learned brahmanas, are householders and need your assistance to finish their respective sacrifice. The wives of the brahmanas replied, "Oh, almighty one, please do not speak such cruel words. Rather, you should fulfill your promise that you always reciprocate with your devotees. Now that we have attained your lotus feet, we simply wish to remain here in the forest so that we may carry upon our heads the garland of tulsi leaves you may neglectfully kick away with your lotus feet. We are ready to give up all material relationships. Our husbands, fathers, sons, brothers, other relatives and friends will no longer take us back. And how could anyone else be willing to give us shelter? Therefore, since we have thrown ourselves at your lotus feet and have no other destination, please, O chastiser of enemies, grant our desire." Krishna replied, "Sri Bhagavata Muvacha, rest assured that your husbands will not be inimical to you, nor will your fathers, brothers, sons, other relatives, or the general populace. No one will be inimical to you. I will personally advise them of the situation. Indeed, even the demigods will express their approval. For you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world, nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and chanting my name and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes." Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thus instructed, the wives of the brahmanas returned to the place of sacrifice. The brahmanas did not find any fault with their wives, and together with them, they finished the sacrifice. One of the ladies had been forcibly kept back by her husband, and when she heard the others describe the Supreme Lord Krishna, she embraced Krishna within her heart and gave up her material body, the basis of bondage to material activities." Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Appi Govinda, fed the cowherd boys with that food of four varieties. Then the all-powerful Lord himself partook of the preparations. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, his cowherd boyfriends, and the cowherd girlfriends with his beauty, with his words and actions. Now there's a little more to the chapter, but I wanted to ask, what do you remember? What struck you from, if anything, did anything really stick in your mind from that? Yes, here's you.
Krishna is advising Yajnapatis to go back and, you know, follow more of a Vaidhi process. Then, you know, the highest is to be...
Why do you say Vaidhi, just curiously?
The rules and regulations and...
But why Vaidhi? Why? Because they had... There wasn't exact, I'm curious to know why you...
They had not fully developed that law as compared to the
But what was the part that you heard and remembered that he ordered, told them to go back and always remember me?
Hear about me.
Yeah.
This is my daily form. That's a process, for sure.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Just a couple of things. One is, so the Brahmin Patnis, they send everything to Krishna. So it reminded me of Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvalokamaishu. At the end, it's all meant for him. And I was also meditating on Barha Pidam Natavaravapu verses.
Good. Says, what was your meditation?
Just the form of Krishna when he was walking in the forest with the cowherd boys and the pastimes. So
one thing reminded you of another.
Sorry.
The pastime reminded you of another verse of the Bhagavatam. Yes. How nice. Thank you. Anyone else remember something? Yes.
You can read our thoughts, Krishna, and the thoughts of all creatures.
Yeah. How did you feel when you heard that? And he still likes us.
Yeah.
Quite amazing.
A bit embarrassed.
Yeah, yes, I also. Just imagine if, I often say this, if you had a loudspeaker connected to your mind, direct access. For everyone. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. A little louder, please.
One point stuck to me that both Brahmanas and their Patni were stunned when Gopas had a request for the food. You know. But one was stunned, they were not paying attention, but the younger Patni was stunned in ecstasy.
Yeah. Sweet point made by the Acharyas. Yes, Paul.
Krishna being dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
He's depicted as light blue.
Have you ever, because he's shamam, that means that he's like a rain cloud, that color that's filled with rain, and one time during the rainy season in Vrindavan, I saw a cloud, and right behind it was the sun, and it was effulgent and dark. Both, and I thought, oh, something like that. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, he's speaking about a greatly advanced devotee. Oh, by the way, thank you very much for that. He said that when the devotee actually sees Krishna, he says to Krishna, previously I have compared your form and complexion to that of a dark rain cloud, but now I see those comparisons were hollow, more or less empty. Because we have, how are you going to describe something transcendental to someone who only has material concepts in his mind? So I have a material concept of what a rain cloud is like, and that's, it can be so beautiful and wonderful. But Krishna is composed of something completely different, actually. So this is called Chandra Sakanyaya. It's like this. But actually, it's completely Krishna's complexion. Everything Krishna does is beyond the conception of the material mind. But yes, thank you. I liked that one very much. Anyone else remember something? Yes.
Krishna assuring the Brahmapatnis that when you return, your husbands and all your relatives will not be inimical to you.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, you're hoping for such a return yourself. Okay, good. Don't worry, Krishna will take care. Yes, did you?
I was thinking about that point that how devotees are so sensitive that gopas were thinking that Krishna was hungry and they didn't say that you must be hungry, they said we are hungry. So just the intricate nature of serving.
And culture, yeah. interesting. Yes.
The Brahmapatnis were getting stopped, but they didn't stop. They went to Krishna.
Yes.
All obstacles.
Yeah. And then they got there and Krishna said, go home. He also said that to the gopis. Yes, thank you.
Maharaj, I couldn't quite understand that the Patnis who went and saw Krishna and went back, and then they told their friend who was not allowed to come, and just by hearing that, she left her material body straight away. Whereas the ones who actually physically took the food and went to Krishna, that struck me, but I can't quite reconcile.
What part can't you reconcile?
The elevation of that. It seems that the Patni who stayed back and heard and was not allowed to go actually received a higher reward where she left her body and went straight back to Krishna, whereas the others who actually physically saw him and had the opportunity to do that didn't get that immediately.
Yeah. So the power of separation was more immediate for her, and the other ladies had to wait some time. They had seen Krishna and then they didn't see him again, so their separation had to mature and mature. Does that vaguely answer? Are you saying that it's not fair?
No, it's I just don't understand, but I understand the concept, but it's astounding.
Yes. How can we understand transcendence based on our material experiences? Yeah. So that's a difficulty for a practitioner in this world. We hear about it, and that's why the recommendation was hearing. And of course, the example is Rukmini Devi fell in love with Krishna completely when she heard from Narada. Both of them heard from the direct experience of someone. So who can imagine how excited they were after having just been with Krishna, and their consciousness had exploded with what they saw that was so beautiful, and they were completely ecstatic and absorbed. And she thought, but I didn't get to go. So I didn't get to see Krishna. So when our hearts become filled with where is Krishna, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was demonstrating that he didn't. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? No other words came from his mouth. Where is Krishna? So when that desire really burns in our heart, and of course we can't imitate it, we shouldn't, imitation is never allowed, but that's actually the process of either quickly or slowly, depending upon our capacity to, for that desire to want to be with Krishna, let it increase until tears come from our eyes. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Like that, and our hearts melt. And then Krishna, it also describes about Prahlad Maharaj, that he, because there's one verse before, when the demigods are fearful about the powers of Hiranyakashipu, they approach the Lord, and they hear a voice, or Brahma says to them that, don't worry about Hiranyakashipu, because when he teases this devotee, the word Prabhupada translates as teases, and there's a meaning of that that's not the usual one, but really gives trouble to this boy. who's such a great devotee, that Lord Nrisingadev, whose appearance is coming up very soon, Krishna, he can't control his anger because this boy was so much in love with him that Krishna's anger personifies as an avatar as Lord Nrisingadev and comes down. So there's a description of the consciousness of Prahlad in the verses and purports there, which really help one understand how he could act as he acted in the presence of a powerful father who was so zealous of him that he was continuously trying to kill him. How could he have acted the way he did? We can imagine ourselves, at least myself, we could say Prahlad's so wonderful, but when I'm in a fearful situation, I become frightened, very frightened. And Prahlad was not at all frightened. So his consciousness was described in this chapter, and he was seeing Krishna. And when Krishna was present before him, he'd be prayerful and happy, and then Krishna would disappear from his consciousness, spurti. He would cry and cry. And then when Krishna would reappear, he would laugh and laugh and laugh, like a young boy, like a child. So he was in the presence of Krishna, and as soon as Krishna wasn't there, he would cry and cry and cry. And children are like that. You know, they one moment they'd be laughing, and then they don't get what they want, and they start crying, etc., etc. So our hearts maybe have to become sort of simple like that. That, yeah. But we can't imitate, we shouldn't imitate, we should just sort of be ourselves and humbly try to step forward from whatever position we're in an appropriate way that is suitable for our own advancement and situation, and serve those who are better than us. And if we can't find anyone better than us, then we should look in the mirror and see. Then we should attach a speaker to our mind. At least that would fix me good. And that's the real challenge for devotees. Well, one of the real challenges, there's the gross challenges, of course. And then there's the subtle material ambitions. But then there's pride. And that's the greatest challenge. Thinking oneself better than others, because Mahaprabhu is saying humility. And he's saying, and Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes how humility is the same as prema. And then how, because the essence of material existence is false ego, as described by Kapila Muni in the third canto, then there's everything, even devotional practices, can move to pride so easily, rather than seeing everything as a gift. So it's a great danger. And then the way it works is that Krishna gives us some mercy when we engage in devotional practices. And if we identify with that mercy as us or ours, as opposed to mercy, and we start thinking, I'm learned, I'm a good speaker, or this or that or anything, and we start thinking like that, and pride enters the heart, and then Krishna must kindly give us a lesson. And then we become humble again, and then we get some mercy, and then we become proud again. This is part of the process, it seems. But how to deal with that? You know, from now on, I'm not going to be proud. And how well that works. But rather, whatever we are, whoever we are, whatever abilities Krishna has given us, we should just try to use them in Krishna service, but be conscious enough to be aware of the of pride and contain it, control it, and make sure that try our best to make sure that we understand that whatever good, after all, we are insignificant. You know, how much can a soul who's 1/10,000th the tip of a hair in size, I mean, or we could ever be as insignificant. There was one time, that picture over there, when I see this, I remember an instance I had when I first came to Vrindavan. I was looking at that picture, a smaller version of it, with Krishna surrounded by cows, and how many cows, I think the picture I had wasn't portrait, it was landscape, and it was big, and the bigger part, the rest of the picture has even more cows. So there was Krishna, and he was surrounded by countless cows. And I thought, it's embarrassing to say, but I thought, in the spiritual world, there are unlimited cows, there are unlimited cowherd boys, there are unlimited people who love Krishna's parents, and there are unlimited gopis. And all the top positions are filled already. Maybe I'm in the wrong movement. Of course I wasn't, but the thought came to my mind and I left, but that's all we could ever be, is an insignificant servant or a servant of a servant of a servant. That's what Mahaprabhu said. Gopi Bharta Pada Kamali Adasa Dasa Nadas. But I've also heard in a recording that Prabhupada saying that he said by serving in the disciplic succession, even though we're serving the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, then we end up serving Krishna directly, we experience Krishna directly. And he said, that is the miracle of the disciplic succession. And to serve the Vaishnavas is like that. Anyone else remember anything else from that story? I'll ask someone who hasn't said anything. Yeah.
So, Krishna is accessible to everyone. So, the thing is that Krishna gave equal opportunity to both Brahman and his wives, but his wife were more intelligent and they took the opportunity to serve him. So, the thing is that only the wise people can serve him better.
But was it, what do you mean by wise or wisdom or intelligent there?
They understood who Krishna is, their wives understood.
But it was more than understood, because understanding takes place in the mind. But they loved Krishna already just by hearing about him. They had bhakti. I find that happens to me a lot. Because I'll study and I'll think about something and then I understand it. And I imagine that I'm doing it just because I understand it. But understanding and doing is something completely different. So the wives, because they had bhakti, which is the thing, of course understanding is important and wonderful, but the wives had bhakti. That means they had devotion for Krishna. And that's a gift. And it came just by hearing about him.
And also Krishna is like...
Wait. First, don't leave that one so easily. What do you think about that? Because I give classes. So I can enthusiastically give classes, but that doesn't... But now to act on that platform, act with just desire to please Krishna and nothing else. No abhilasit, no abhilas, anya abhilasita sunyam. And just want to please Krishna, jnana, karma, anavritam, anukulena, and a favorable, just wanting to please Krishna. And that's the process that Kanista Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari, that gives, it's the, that's the essence of either of any of those that will, the practices will move them forward towards bhava bhakti, towards the more perfectional stage. And then what do you do when you discover there's so many other desires in the heart too? So yes, the best part of me maybe wants, in a good day, wants to serve Krishna, please Krishna. But then when you see, when you hold the mirror up and you see, oh, I look like that? I didn't know that. I thought I was 16 years old. And then you see what's really inside. Sometimes Krishna's so kind. He allows us to see, and it's not pleasant kindness. It's not like joy, oh, how wonderful, Krishna showed me how fallen I am, oh, Jai Prabhu. It's not like that, it's painful to the false ego, and that's who we mostly are. I say not really mostly are, but that's mostly who we think we are, conceive of ourselves at. But between our karma and the different psychological complexes that force us to act in one way or another, we basically don't have any idea who we are. That person who we think we are isn't us. But we do know, at least philosophically, that who am I? I'm eternal soul. And I'm not only that, I'm Krishna's servant. So sadhana bhakti is the practice of serving Krishna, even though the realization, the depth of the realization is not yet there. The practice of going through the motions externally, and gradually by hearing and going through the motions externally, the heart is purified and the mind is supposed to be brought under control. What do you think?
Yeah, without bhakti, it's hard to understand Krishna. That's
maybe impossible. Because the understanding of Krishna comes by his grace, and he reciprocates as according to Yayatamam Prapadyante, he reciprocates. But if we become eager, tatraloyam, if we really, that's the point, if we really want to see him, if we want to see him, but not so I can guess who's with Krishna, put it on my Instagram and maybe you can make a little TikTok video out of it too. But no other desire except the seeing means to serve. To want to serve Krishna out of love, out of bhakti. Maybe that's way here and maybe I'm here. So that humility, if our desire becomes great, and our feeling of capacity becomes less and less and less and less, not activity, but the feeling of my capacity, that's called humility, becomes less, then that tension between those two. Is what attracts Krishna's attention, humility and desire. What do you think? Yeah, I think that's, yeah. Yeah, that's a reasonable reply.
It also.
Oh! Yeah, but.
So, Krishna knows past, present, and future. He knows that what's going to happen when he sends his Gopa friend to the Brahman. Still, he gave first opportunity to Brahmanas to.
Why?
He's merciful.
Yeah, he also wanted to teach something. If you, the chapter before, at the end of the chapter before, there is an explanation of what he wanted to teach. When he talked about trees. Do you know that? Well, now you have an assignment. What did he want to teach? First he said something, and then he showed it. Anyone else remember anything? Maybe you can both talk at the same time. That one. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. It's too hard of a choice. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, I remember that Krishna laughed when he got the response from Brahmanas. He laughed. So I'm trying to reconcile, like, understand what's the motive behind his laugh.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada, I think in Krishna's book, he explains it a little in a little more detail, but you can always ask him, what did he find humorous in that? But it's basically, according to what Prabhupada said, these more advanced ones, just laugh, this is the nature of people. And that's actually what Prabhupada says. He says, that's the nature of begging in this world. When you're, and everyone who distributes books or who does some collecting of sorts or in any way, or it's just the nature of the world that you can't expect success. Even when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went out to preach, some people treated them so nicely. Yes, you're such nice people, come in. He just told them to chant and hear about Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koda Krishna, Sika, Sika. And some people treated him in one way, some people got angry at him, at them. Some people chased them away, some people wondered what their motives were. So that's the nature of the world. So Krishna told them that's the nature of begging. You can't expect to be successful. And I also personally heard Prabhupada speak about this point in Mayapur in 1976. And he said, if you go and ask someone for a donation, and they don't give it, don't be surprised, don't become angry, he said. Because that means that Krishna, from within their hearts, did not allow them to give. So he laughed, these are the advanced people, and they won't give, but look what's going to happen next. They're simple-hearted, pure-hearted wives. They'll give everything so willingly, not caring for even what other thoughts. Just, you know, there's different kinds of laughters. You know, one is, ah, wasn't that, it was more, ah. Yes, Prabhu. Is that okay?
So, in this pastime, we hear Krishna is asking the Brahmin Patnis to go back, and they don't want to leave. They're very hesitant, but then finally they agree and they leave. And when Krishna says the same thing to the gopis, they are disobedient. Externally, I'm just saying, like, it appears that both same instructions were given, one just did not follow, and one with all hesitation followed. So, just a question related to that is, of course, in their case, they understand what pleases Krishna more. For us, when to be disobedient and when to follow.
One time, one devotee asked in a Prabhupada, you know, sometimes a similar question. How do you, you know, sometimes you have to make a choice whether you do one thing or another, and your mind is telling you one thing. And sometimes, how do you know whether you should listen to your mind or not listen to your mind? Prabhupada replied, don't worry, you always do the wrong thing. So that makes it easy. Whatever you want to do, you do the opposite, in one sense. But so how do you know when to be disobedient? I mean, you personally?
Yeah, because in the pastime of Ashwatthama, Krishna wanted, okay, kill Ashwatthama, Draupadi wanted no. But there was no offense taken. Finally, it was approved what she wanted. You know.
No, he did both. Krishna figured out how to, he did a mediation. And he figured out a solution that, and that's what mediations do. They figure out a solution that nobody likes, but everyone can live with. But that wasn't really your question. Your question, well, the question way, is, how do you know?
Yeah, when to, when to. disobedient in what you think you want to do in service, and when to be obedient in changing your own plan in serving.
Ask the temple president. You like that one, Adi Ruda? But who do you, well, when you don't know what to do, to have someone who you can trust and really open your heart to, is, and who you know is more experienced and more wise than you, is such a great fortune. So if you have such a person, you're very fortunate. So you just, and Mahaprabhu also said that to Sanatana Goswami. He said, when he said, "Ki ami," you know, who am I, and why are these mysteries? He said, Mahaprabhu replied, "You already know the answer, but it's the nature of a sadhu to ask just to confirm." So whether you're right, whether you know what to do or don't know what to do, then if you have someone to ask to confirm, even this is what I think is best, then you're fortunate. And then just to make sure that you're right. But nowadays people say, what's the line? Better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Or easier. No, but no, you should confirm, get it confirmed. And he won't remember anything else that was interesting for them. Sanatana Prabhu, do you remember anything else that was interesting for you?
I think I missed the best part.
What was the best part that you missed?
I missed what happened after the wives came. But I was thinking about someone mentioned before about Krishna chuckled when the husbands didn't come.
Yeah.
And how funny it is that they're spending their whole lives searching for God, and God came, and they said, no, we're busy. We're busy looking for God. And how, I suppose, in our own lives, it's, how can we see Krishna's hand in our lives and in our service, and know when he is indicating something, or that he wants something a certain way, and when to follow that, and understand when it is some kind of instruction from, you know, Chaitanya Guru, and when it is just their minds disturbing.
Similar question, in a sense. Well, we study the philosophy and we try our best to use our intelligence to act according to what Shastra says. We have to, if we know the heart of Prabhupada and his representatives and Krishna, that's what Prabhupada actually said the qualification for being a guru was at the end. You have to know the heart of your master. So you take the philosophy, you try to decide for yourself, a person like yourself in such an important position, and then and if there's no one to ask, then you pray to your beloved lords, Sisi Gornatai, and say, this is the best I can come up with, is the way to please you. But if it's not pleasing to you, so it's the best I can do, so I'm going ahead. But if it's not pleasing to you, let me know, because my desire is not to do this, but it's to please you. So that's an easy theoretical answer. And then sometimes the mind gets so attached to wanting to do a particular thing that it's good if we have people to consult with, certainly. Yeah, the mind is so tricky to deal with. And another point is that maybe in one of Prabhupada's purports in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, don't act unless you're sure of Krishna's sanction. If this is what Krishna wants, you wait until it's really clear to you. That's another. But of course, sometimes there's times when you have to act immediately, and you're forced to make a decision on the spot, and you should consult Krishna as best you can, and then sometimes you have to make a decision. And if it's not clear, use your intelligence as best you can, and then with that type of a prayer, that's probably the best I could do with that. And sometimes people ask questions and they're thinking of something very specific, but they ask it in a general way, and all I can do is give a general answer like that. You look tired, Narottama. You participated so nicely. Thank you. But you're tired?
Yeah.
Are you hungry also?
Yeah.
What's the prasadam situation? I wish I had some food to give you. But I know that there's a sacrifice being performed nearby. You can just go ask the Brahmins.
Well, it's men's retreat only.
We may make an exception with prasadam. I wanted to, of course, thank the devotees who work very hard to maintain such a nice...
It's ready.
Yeah. Can you last another 10 minutes?
Okay.
Or better, you can go right now. Are you sure? Thank the devotees, Keshe Prabhu and Manikriva Prabhu and etc., who work hard to maintain this property. And also like to especially thank Janardhan Prabhu. Sorry. And also Ishan Thakur Prabhu for cooking such amazing prasadam. And just for the pleasure of the devotees, without kirtan and prasad, we have nothing. And okay, everyone close your eyes, and in your mind, think of your worshipable deity, think of your Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, Vaishnavas, Holy Dham. Just for a moment, let's get ourselves out of the center. Especially a worshipable deity. Yes, think of your most worshipable deity, or if you don't have a specific deity, a picture, a painting of Krishna in one form or another that really is beautiful to you. And offer your obeisances to that Krishna. And offer a simple prayer. But even before you offer your prayer, offer some incense, flower at his lotus feet, offer a flower garland, some amazingly tasty sweet fruits, see if you can do something to please one of his beloveds. See if you can put your hands in the air and chant and dance and sing Krishna's holy names and great happiness and chant really loudly but in your minds, and don't leave any part of your mind and heart unengaged, and chant before the deity and glorify. Glorify Krishna. And then keep chanting in your mind and dancing. And also cook something for the pleasure of Krishna. And you can put a tulsi leaf on top of it and offer it to Krishna. And think in your mind that we hope that you'll be pleased by this. Cook something that will be pleasing to Krishna, that you know will be pleasing to Krishna. Chanting in your mind. And then look at the lotus feet of Krishna and offer prayer, a humble request. And think of some devotees who may require some mercy from Krishna, and pray for them, for them, sincerely. And think of something from somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, then think of that pastime or those instructions. And then in your mind create something out of jewels and precious metals to present to Krishna, whether it be ankle bells or necklaces or something that will give Krishna pleasure, that is very beautiful, and give it to the one who already has everything. But still he appreciates the devotion in which something is given. And then again, offer your obeisances. And offer your final respect, offering obeisances to all the devotees. even those who may be disturbing your mind right this time period, but offer respects to every devotee, because Krishna sees the sincerity, Bhava Grahi Janardana, sees the sincerity of the attempt. And find one special flower and place it in the hand of Krishna's beloved and ask if they would offer that flower on your behalf to Krishna. And then chant Krishna's names loudly, loudly, loudly. And be grateful to Krishna for giving us the association of devotees, and chant in your mind loudly, loudly Krishna's holy names, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. A little bit louder, please, in your mind. And then remember that here you are sitting in the Nandagram farm by the mercy of Sisi Radhabalava, Sisi Konitai, Sisi Jagannath Paladev Subhadra, Srila Prabhupada, and there are so many servitors who have kindly dedicated their lives for their pleasure. And remember that we're sitting here, and slowly keep chanting, 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 and then slowly you can open your eyes if you like, when you like, rather. Like to offer for the pleasure of Radhabalava, Konitai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. How nice. Hare Krishna. Narottama, you're still hungry? Okay. Thank you all for your association, and please go and take prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.